Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of John this morning, please. John chapter number 13 is where we'll be. Again, just want to thank the Lord for each of you here this morning. I trust that you'll be encouraged, as I feel like we already have been. I want to welcome our guest, and I want to welcome also my in-laws. Dad and Mom Ike DeFlesh are here with us for a few days, and they're so thankful. They'll be back tonight and be here for this couple of days. So thankful to have them, and encourage their encouragement is a blessing. We've been studying a couple different things over the past couple weeks. Really, we had our Vision Sunday last Sunday. If you didn't get a chance, if you weren't here for that Sunday, please get that, or either go online and listen to it, or also you can get it on a CD if that's what you would prefer. But we talked about vision last Sunday and how that impacts a local church just like this one. I believe churches die many times because churches lose vision. But we're not going to go into that as much today. But we are trusting the Lord to increase our vision for Him, number one. As the songwriter would say, be thou my vision. And that is something that we want to focus on. But I'm being signaled, so I'm going to take a quick time out. Junior church, please. We're going to dismiss all our junior age kids. Y'all, we need to do that, okay? So any of you four-year-old to fourth grade, if y'all could make your way out of this. Thank you, Brother Joe. Brother Joe's back there. He's trying to be nice about it like this, and then it started going to this. All right, brother, I got you. All right, so four-year-old to fourth grade, I know my little rugrats need to go. Where are they? Are they already there? Where's Marianne? Is she already, Marianne already back there? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Are you going to go to, you going to go to junior church, honey? Oh, she said, I forgot grandma and grandpa are here. So she's going to hang out with them. That's just fine. Amen. Well, we're thankful again for what God is doing and what God is showing us. Our theme this year is depending upon the power of God. It is with power from on high, and this year we're focusing on what God's power can do in our lives as we submit to Him. We're going to talk about a character this morning that did learn about the power of God, but many times, like you and me, he did learn the hard way. We're going to talk about Peter a little bit this morning, and going to try to draw some things from his life, and also just how he related with the Lord Jesus, and things that I know we will be able to relate with him, and in a very specific way. Look there with me, John chapter 13, verse number 36 is where we'll start here. John chapter 13, verse number 36 says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let's pray together. Lord God, I do want to praise your holy name. I want to thank you for the wonderful singing this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for all those that you've brought here for such a time as this. As we gather around your word, I pray this time would not be in vain. Lord, I pray you'd meet needs that only you can meet. I pray you'd encourage and strengthen. I pray you'd give help. Oh God, I do pray that you would do miracles in our midst. Because, Lord, I need them. We need them. We need you. So, Lord God, now in thy word, in Jesus' name, I do pray, amen. I'd like to preach a message to you titled this morning, Arguing with the Lord. Arguing with the Lord. And by the way, that's never a good idea. Although it does happen, as we will see in Peter's life, it does happen. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever met someone that was quick to argue? No one here, I'm sure. But some people, you know, not only are they quick to argue, but quite frankly and truly, they're pretty good at it. You ever know anybody like that? In fact, you ever know anybody that can argue and claim that it's not arguing, but it really is, and it really doesn't even sound like it, but it really is. Anybody know anybody like that? So, you know, they justify, well, we're not really arguing, we're just explaining, okay? We all can justify ways of arguing and different things of that nature, but arguing is arguing, and in this context, it's not a good idea. Although, I will point out some things about Peter before we get too hard at Peter. But Peter was good at arguing. And he liked to argue with the Lord about some things. And it so happens on this one, he's going to argue about why he cannot go with the Savior, with his Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the second argument, let me remind you, in this chapter. The first one was when he was arguing about whether or not Jesus could wash his feet. All right? You remember? Excuse me. You remember Jesus was teaching the disciples about what it meant to serve. Now, it's very important to remember that, because in this context, you will correlate them. He was setting a pattern. He wanted to set a pattern to the disciples by washing their feet, a pattern of serving. Well, the same thing is going to take place here. He's going to set a pattern, but Peter objects to this pattern as well. Jesus doesn't like this pattern. And so he's going to protest. And the first time Peter said, no, I can't wash your feet, but he does come around to give him credit when the Lord rebukes him and reminds him. He says, okay, Lord, you wash it all. And he was open to the Lord's teaching there. But then this is not too far down the road, and he's going to argue again. Peter said, I will go with you, Lord. Lord was leaving. Peter said, I'm going with you. Now, Peter was no doubt an argumentative individual. But before we get too critical on Peter, let's ask ourselves, do we ever argue with the Lord? Well, I believe if we're all honest here this morning, we do. When the Lord is telling us to do something or not to do something, many times we'll go into argue mode. All right. So what can we learn from Peter and his dialogue, if you will, with Jesus? Well, I think there's some very important things that we can learn. Number one, I think that we can learn that when it comes to this dialogue and what we see in Peter's heart and Peter's actions, we must learn that to take God at His word, even when we don't understand. That is so important for each of us. To take God at His word, even when we don't understand. Excuse me. I had a frog in my throat, and I think he just crossed his legs. I can't get that thing cleared out. But what we want to realize is we want to realize that truly, when God speaks to us, when God is speaking, many times we would want to object. Because either we're not comfortable with it, we're fearful in some way in trying to justify it. But let's take God at His word. Peter didn't understand. Now, I will say this. Peter didn't understand why he couldn't go where Jesus was going. Let's not be too hard on Peter here. And yes, in his overzealousness, he questioned God's will. He was doing it somewhat of a pure heart. And by the way, I do believe here, my opinion is that Peter's motive was pure. I do believe that Peter did want to go with the Savior. And that he did want to be by His side. And that he was, in his mind anyway, he was willing to give of himself. But you see, there were some things that Jesus was trying to teach him. Peter had a pure motive, but he had an undeveloped maturity. God was teaching him some things. And God will tell us many times to do certain things or not to do certain things because there are still some lessons to be learned. And I believe that we can learn that from Peter. I do believe that due to that immaturity, what do we see in this? And we saw it a lot in Peter. But we see it a lot in our hearts too, if we'll be honest. I'm glad God used Peter the way He did to show us many things in our own life. But I do believe Peter, because of this immaturity, number one, Peter was rash. It was obvious that he had some pride. He was prideful. He had a sense of pride that Jesus wanted to deal with. But he was also oblivious. He truly was, like many of us are in life. We don't see what's ahead when God's trying to get our attention and when he's trying to teach us and come alongside. Many times we are oblivious and we don't understand it all. And I believe Peter was in that. In fact, not just Peter, but a lot of the other disciples. You remember? There's a lot of things they just weren't catching. We can relate, can't we? First of all, we see here, I think there's some, at least four major things. There are other things that that Peter did not understand. But I think there are four major things that Peter did not yet, get it, yet understand what God, the Lord Jesus, was wanting to do in his life. Look with me there. We see, first of all, he really didn't know what he was asking. He had asked, now, Lord, I'm going to go with you. What he was stating, he really didn't understand his own statement of what that would include. And we saw that also with the in Matthew chapter 20, verses 22, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. They said, listen, this is what I want you to do with my boys. All right. She's telling Jesus what she wanted her boys to do, wanted to be with him in heaven on each of the side there as a way of greatness and authority. And Jesus really just told her straight up, said, listen, you don't understand what you're asking and what you're stating. And we see that, I believe there's an element here that Peter truly didn't understand what he was stating, because Jesus was not talking about taking another trip necessarily to another country for another preaching opportunity. He was not going necessarily to do the villages to do more healing. Listen, Jesus was on his way to Calvary. Jesus was making his way to the cross, to the place called Golgotha. And Peter didn't really get that, but he would soon learn, wouldn't he? So we see that, number one, he didn't really know what he was stating. And sometimes we, as a reminder, we need to understand before we speak too quickly, we need to understand and think about what we're asking. Jesus was going to show him. Number two, I believe not only did he not understand or state what he was understand what he was stating, but simply he was not ready. Peter wasn't ready. We don't like that, do we? Especially Americans. We're always ready, right? Oh, yes, we're ready. We're ready to take on the next great thing and whatever the case may be. We are ready. And if you're not, you're behind. And we just need to be ready to go whatever is before us. Well, Peter was not ready. And the Lord had some things to teach Peter and about, really, let me just say this, to teach him about Peter's weakness. Aren't you thankful that the Lord takes the time to teach us about our weaknesses? That is something that we desperately need to recognize daily and not to be ashamed of them, but to really just recognize them and let God change us. You know, in so much in life, it will help you. It will help me to recognize our weaknesses, and Jesus is going to help Peter with that. What are some of Peter's weaknesses? Well, Peter didn't understand the depravity of his sinful nature. Something that we need to realize, even as God's children, you've received the gospel, you need to understand, and I need to understand, how sinful our heart truly is. We are not exempt. Because we get saved, we are not exempt from sinning against the Lord. That is just unbiblical. And it's a fact of life that we are, even as Christians, are going to sin against the Lord. But thank God we do have an advocate. And his name is Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, I don't believe Peter understand the depravity of his sinful nature. But secondly, I believe that he didn't understand the debility of his own efforts. Peter didn't understand that he was truly a weak individual. He didn't want to admit that. Peter, if you were to ask Peter at this moment, Peter, are you strong? He'd say, oh, yeah, I'm strong. I got this. Oh, yeah, Lord, I got this. You can depend on me. What was going on here? Well, it happens to me and you, too. We have this misunderstanding of our personal strength, which we don't have any strength of our own. And that was of his own efforts. It was going to hurt him. But then not only that, but he didn't understand the inability to do the will of God without the power of God. I was just loving as the men sang about the power of God, and as we as a congregation sang about the power of God, that is truly how we will serve the Lord in the only way. There probably is, but I can't think of any right now. But I don't know of anything more frustrating than trying to serve God in the flesh. That's just... That's miserable life right there. God wants us to come to Him by His power and to serve Him with His power. And Peter wasn't quite ready. He didn't quite catch that. He thought he'd arrived. He thought he was ready to conquer the world. And I believe his motive was pure, but his immaturity was not where it needed to be. His maturity was not where it needed to be. To do what God was going to use him to do. You know, Romans 12:3 says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. No man should think himself more highly than he ought to think. Paul said this in Philippians 3:3. He would say, have no confidence in the flesh. But you know what he goes on to say? We don't have time to go there, but it's interesting because Paul said, look, and if there's anybody that could have confidence in the flesh, it'd be me. I know a lot of things. I mean, I know a lot of information about the Jewish law and the Jewish religion. I know a lot. And if there's anybody that can be confident in the flesh, Paul was saying, it'd be me. And I'm telling you, this is not to puff anybody up, but honestly, most of us here have some strength in our life. I think all of us do have a certain strength in our life. And if we're not careful, church, we'll get confident in that strength. And that's dangerous. Never should we get confident in the arm of the flesh. No, we get confident in the Lord God. And He can use the way He's made us and created us and the ways He has blessed us. But if anything happens good and accomplishes, it's all because of Him. My confidence is in the Lord. And Peter was learning that. You see, Peter would go on to deny the Lord three times. Three times. Can I give some practical advice here? From the context of your personal devotion to the Lord, listen, never say never. Never say never about what you would or would not do. Church, that is an extremely dangerous statement. Because what can happen is you can get to the place in your Christian life where you might look at somebody beside you or see something on TV, on the news, or whatever the context may be, and say, I would never do that. That's what Peter's attitude was. Lord, I'd never deny you. You know who you're talking about. I don't know who you're talking about denying you. That must be a different Peter. But this Peter. Listen, church, can I just give you a warning? And this is for Brinson Jennings as well. Never say you never will do something. Because when you get to that point thinking you'll never sin a certain sin, I want to tell you, you are treading on dangerous ground. Satan will pick up that on his radar in a heartbeat. And he will come after that person and that heart of pride quicker than you can blink an eye. You better say, by God's grace, I will never do this or that. By God's power and strength and protection in my life, I will never do that. But listen, it is only by God that we keep ourselves. And then the other side of the coin is this, church. Never say never about what you won't do. Oh, it breaks my heart when I think of situations of people that are very verbal, actually, and opinionated about, I would never serve God in this capacity. I would never go to this mission field. I would never live in such and such place. And I know we kid about that sometimes, and that's fun. I get that. But when we're being serious is what I'm talking about. When we're being serious, God, I could never serve in that place in the church. I could never talk to anybody about Jesus. Listen, that is speaking very loudly of immaturity. And that's what Peter was dealing with. And Jesus was going to teach him about this, not to say that. 1 Corinthians says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Peter's thinking needed to be corrected. Peter had to learn what true obedience meant in this situation. Because Jesus was talking about his road to Calvary, the sacrifice that he would have to make. So then why else? Not only did he not understand and was he not ready, but thirdly, I believe the reason Jesus says, you can't follow me now, and that is key. I'll make that in a minute. That word now is very important in this context, because Jesus does want Peter to follow him. But in this context, he said, not now. And this is why I believe it wasn't now, because Jesus' mission was not complete. Jesus' mission was not complete. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean Jesus needed to set a pattern of perfect submission unto the Father. Perfect submission of presenting himself a sacrifice for the world. A perfect example is what the Lord Jesus was going to fulfill, and he was going to show them. So at the time, he said, no, Peter. You don't follow me now. But he says there will come a time that you will follow me in this way. You see, the example of Jesus Christ was complete suppression to his personal wants in obedience to the Father's will. To his personal will in the sense where he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And that is the message again for us this morning. As we look what Jesus was trying to teach Peter in this dialogue, I believe Jesus was saying, Peter, I'm about to set example to you in your life of what perfect obedience looks like. Of what I'm saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what he said to the Father. But then another thing that I think he saw that Peter needed to know and that we all need to know. Not only complete obedience and submission to the Father's will, but I see a complete self-sacrifice, get this, for the love of mankind. Wow. The complete sacrifice that Jesus would demonstrate for the love of the neighbor, for the love of the enemy, for the love that Jesus Christ was going to show to Peter and to all the world. Wow, what a blessing this was. Christ must die before he has completed the example that we are to follow. And Christ must die before the impulse shall be given to us, which shall make us able to tread, however falteringly and far behind in his footsteps, quote Alexander McLaren. You see, because Jesus would not allow Peter to follow him at this time, it was because the time was not right. McLaren also said, to follow Jesus is to live denying self for God and to live sacrificing self for men. That's very powerful. So you see here, Jesus needed to fulfill the pattern. But then look with me also, you're going to see here that in order for Peter to fulfill this same mission as Jesus, get it, Jesus had to go. Why? Because he needed to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Because you'll remember the next three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, what's Jesus going to do? Jesus is going to take the time to explain to the disciples of who the Comforter is. He said, I'm going to send you another Comforter. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and dwell you. He's going to come and empower you. And Peter could not follow the way that Jesus was going to go because Peter had not yet received the filling and the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God. That wouldn't happen until Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit would come down and indwell the believer and the beginning of the church, and we see that that had not taken place, but it was going to. The time was coming. Peter would experience that. But listen, the Holy Spirit would come, and this is the beautiful thing about the Spirit-filled life. We were talking about it in Sunday school. Peter didn't quite understand this, but he would, because he talks about it in his epistles. Peter understands now, of course, but even then when he wrote those letters, that Jesus had to go and do this, go to Calvary. And Peter, you can't follow right now, because when Jesus would leave this earth, he'd go to Calvary, die on the cross, rise again the third day, and then when he would ascend, he would send the Comforter. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit lives out the life of Christ through each of us. So, when Peter could not do it then, there was a day when he would do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, friends, we cannot live the Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Impossible. We must have God's Spirit indwelling us and then empowering us to go forward for His glory. The Holy Spirit will come, Jesus would tell the disciples. But he said, I must go first. That's why you can't follow me right now, Peter. I have to go. And I will go, but I will send another Comforter, even after Calvary. Listen, I think it's interesting that, look, the Holy Spirit reproduces the Lord Jesus Christ in and through each of His children. You know, we sometimes use the word imitation, and I understand when that word is used. But in this context, do you know that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, not just for us to imitate Christ, but no. I think it goes way deeper than that, church. Get it. I think the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us to reproduce Christ in us. The Spirit of God lives out the life of Christ through the believer that opens and yields himself up to the life that God has called him to. That is awesome. I can't do it, but God can. Listen to what Stuart Holden said. He said the Christian life should be more a reproduction of Christ than it is an imitation of Christ. He goes on to give the illustration here. There is a world of difference between imitation and reproduction. He says, as for instance, between any labored copy of an artist's picture and his own easy reduplication of it. It would be, as you would see, the artist, for him to repaint that picture, to reproduce it, he can do it easily and rightly. And that's exactly what God does through us. It's not just an imitation. It's Christ living through us. So we see the reasons why I believe Jesus told him now is not the time. Now look back in the passage. Because it says here, there, if you look there with me, let's see if we can find it here. Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus said unto him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. All right, so now we understand now, but get this next statement. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. You see, the Lord was preparing Peter. Can I tell you something, friend? I hope you already know this. But I want you to look at your life right now. I want you to look at your heart before the Lord. And I want you to know God is preparing you for a greater work. Wherever you are in life, the struggle you're dealing with, the test, the waiting, God is preparing you for a greater work. Just like He was doing in Peter's life, we see it clearly here. The time is coming, he's saying, Peter. The time is coming when you can follow me, Peter, with all your heart and soul. And Peter did. And it is, and in fact, why don't you go over there with me to the end of this book? Look at John chapter 21 with me. Peter would learn some pivotal lessons about the Christian life. And God is going to launch him forward to fulfill the Christ life. You know what Jesus is saying? And it may be saying it to you right now in some way, at some level. I don't know. I'll let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But Jesus was saying, Peter, you're not quite ready for this specific task. But this is the encouraging thing. But you will be. Because I'm working on you, and you're going to be ready to fulfill exactly what I call you to do. And it's going to bring glory to my name. Look, chapter 21. We're going to see another dialogue here. Peter and Jesus have quite a few dialogues in Scripture. Study those out. They're really interesting. We learn a lot from them. Look there of chapter 21, verses 18 through 19. All right, so here is the Jesus confronting Peter about the mission he has for him in feeding his sheep. And verse 18, we see as it comes to the end of this dialogue, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And verse 19, this spake he, the Lord Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, what does it say, church? It was time. It was time. He said, Peter, it's time. I'm leaving. But now, you can do exactly what you had a desire to do, but you were not prepared to do. But now is the time. Jesus knows the time. We see this momentous dialogue between our Savior and Peter, and it shows us so clearly that Jesus is saying, follow me. And we know from historical accounts that Peter did die. He did indeed die for his Savior. In fact, it's reported that he was crucified. And it's reported when he was to be crucified, he said, listen, let me be crucified upside down, because I don't want to die exactly the way my Savior did. I'm not worthy of that. Peter would go and give his life for the gospel. God would use him to write those epistles that we look to with great comfort and great strength and guidance. Peter would go on to encourage the believers, because he learned to let Jesus teach him about surrender. Not to argue with the Lord Jesus. To trust the Lord's judgment. To trust the Lord's leadership. Now, the question this morning is, are we ready to follow Jesus now? Now, can I say this? You may not be in certain areas, but I will tell you one way that we are most definitely qualified. That is because we have His Spirit. Peter did not have the indwelling Spirit at the time of our context, he was not sealed with the Spirit at the time of our context in John chapter 13, okay? But Peter would come to a time where he would receive the sealing and empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's why he also told them, as our theme verse, he told the disciples, wait, tarry a while until you be endued with power, clothed with the Holy Ghost. And they did. They went and waited there in the book of Acts. And we'll be diving into that book, Lord willing, next week. I'm looking forward to that. But Peter had to wait. But listen, today, God has given us His Spirit. We don't have to wait for the indwelling Spirit. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have all the Spirit you ever will have. But here's the ultimate question for the Church of Crooked Creek Baptist Church this morning. How much of you, your life, does the Spirit of God have? We have all of Him, but does He have all of us? Are we trying to argue with the Lord while we are going to do this? Are we arguing with the Lord while we will not do this? Jesus is looking for a heart of surrender. Listen, I believe Jesus is calling every person in this room to a life of full surrender that is only possible through His Spirit. Let me ask a question to all who claim to be saved this morning, which I think it's the majority. I hope all, but I'm pretty sure the majority. Let me ask you a question. Has there been a time in your life where you have surrendered everything to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I mean not just a dedication of getting things right here and there. That's a part of the Christian life, of course. But I'm talking about, has there been a one-time event in your life where you came to full and complete surrender to the Lord God Almighty. If you've never done that, if you've never made that decision, listen, you're never going to experience the power of God in the Christian life. You've got to come to that point where you say, Lord, I'm all yours. My life is yours. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not withholding anything from you. Lord, it's all yours. You tell me to wait, I'll wait. You tell me to go, I'll go. You tell me to do it, I'll do it. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your child. I am surrendered. And I'm telling you, if you never come to that point, now listen, there's some that came to that point, and we'll talk about that. You need to be renewed. But if you've never come to that point, please do not go any further than January 13th, 2019. Today, surrender your life to Christ and let Him do what He's going to do in you. And I want to guarantee you something from this pulpit with the authority of God's Word. Whatever He does, it will be absolutely beautiful. Because God only does beautiful things. Everything God does is good. Isn't that a blessing, church? Everything. And when we surrender our life by faith, you say, God, I know what you do will be good. It will be for my good, and it will be for your glory. That is a question that I want to ask you. And if no, please do it today. Jesus is saying, follow me. Now's the time. I've given you my Spirit. I've saved you, and I've called you to a greater work. It is for you and I to say, let's do it. Let's go. Maybe there's a surrender before and you've taken it back. Can I say this morning, God is saying, hey, I'd love to have it back. The Lord said, listen, I'd like to have it back. We used to get so frustrated in Africa. They don't believe in borrowing things, okay? They believe in taking things and then calling it theirs. Sometimes we call that stealing. They don't call that stealing. If they need it, that's just in that culture and something we had to get used to. But if it was a tool, an instrument, they needed it, you had it. And here's the key. If you weren't using it, that's how it worked. So we had to lock up a lot of stuff, okay? But they would go and take it and it would be gone, okay? They would use it. That was in their culture, okay? Those are things that missionaries have to get accustomed to. You really do. But listen, we can't do that with God. God bought us. We belong to Him. There's no barring our own life away from the Lord. There's no giving our life to anybody else as far as our full heart and dedication. It's to Him, number one. He has first place. And if He doesn't have first place, listen, God doesn't want second, third, and fourth. God wants first. God wants first, and that's where you will find the victory, making Him first place. Well, you may be here today and honestly you're saying, now preacher, I'm going to be honest with you right now. None of this is making any sense at all. I've been confused about this as you've been preaching, and I don't really understand this thing about full surrender and trusting Christ for salvation. Can I tell you, if that is you, and I say this very kindly and graciously, can I tell you, if it all is foolishness to you, can I tell you, you may just need to be saved. Because once you receive Christ, then you receive His Spirit, and then the truth of God's Word does make sense to you. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They are foolishness unto him. And if you think the surrendered life is foolishness, you need to ask yourself, am I saved? And if you need to be saved, you too this morning can make a decision to trust Christ as your Savior. Listen. General William Booth, most of us have heard of him. He's the creator, or I should say, he started a Salvation Army. Once asked to reveal the secret of his success, after some hesitation, listen to this, church, tears came to his eyes, and he said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains, men with greater opportunities, But from the day that I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus could do with them, on that day I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And then it was later said by Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman. He said something he learned from William Booth. I learned from William Booth that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Listen, Peter had to come to the place of full surrender in his life. That's where Jesus was getting him to. He had to teach him some things. And we have learned this morning. And so can I ask you, have you fully surrendered your life to Christ? Has there been a time in your life that you can look back on and say, I know without a doubt, as a Christian, I surrendered it all to Him? And if not, would you come today and make that decision for the Lord? Not for me, not for Crooked Creek Baptist, but for your Savior, your Master, who is saying, follow me, child. Follow me. And then you might be here and you're without Christ. Can I tell you, there's a God in heaven who loves you and died for your sin. And if you don't know the Savior, you can. You don't have to be a member to know the Savior. You don't have to be of an elite group to know the Savior. Jesus calls all. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. And I believe you died for that sin and rose again the third day. And I turn to you, Lord Jesus. You know what you'll do when you do that? You'll become a child of God. You'll get the Holy Spirit, and then you will be able to live the surrendered life. Would you pray with me, please, here?